We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. On the day before Thanksgiving, we look forward to tomorrow. Of course, Turkey Bowl tomorrow here on WIP. Eagles and Giants Sunday on WIP. And much to discuss as we look ahead to the Birds game on Sunday and the rest of the campaign. Let's go out on the Swartz Cullerton guest line right now. If you're injured at work, get Justice. Call Swartz Cullerton at 800-JUSTICE. Talk to our ace covering the Eagles from The Athletic. Does an awesome job and kind enough to join us each week at this time on the show, Mr. Sheil Kapadia. Sheil, what's happening, man?
What's happening, guys? How you doing?
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Sheil.
Same to you guys.
Sheil, let's get to Doug Peterson. I know he spoke just a couple minutes ago. You were there. I got to imagine a Mike Groh question was asked to him. If it was, what was Doug's response, and what light can you shed on anything interesting from the press conference?
Well, I have to start with the biggest, most concerning answer he gave, which was towards the end of the press
conference. Hold on. Can we just real quick? We got a whole nother layer of concern we got to add on now. Is that what you're about to lay on us?
Like,
is this a whole new thing, Sheil?
No. It's probably okay. What you've been discussing, okay. But he was asked, how do you feel about being 4-6? And Doug Peterson said, we're a play or two or three away. We're close.
That's awful. That's just awful.
I mean, there is no metric by which you could, describe this team as anything but a 4-6 team. I mean, they're a couple plays away from being 2-8. If you look at the Colts and the Falcons game, and I just really sincerely hope that is not the message he's taking to the players, the coaches, the organization behind closed doors, because that just sounds sort of like a bit of a delusional coach right there to think that they actually should be better than what their record is.
Sheil, it sounds like the message is we need to stay the course because we're really close if we just keep doing what we're doing, and that's wrong.
That's wrong.
You can't keep doing what you're doing.
And I can't imagine.
Why on earth won't they mix this up? Why, Sheil, why? In all the tape that you've watched, why can't we do new things offensively? Do you feel, I guess the question would be, do you feel as though our offense is inventive or creative in any way?
I mean, you can't say that this year. When you look at it and then you watch the Monday night game between the Rams and the Chiefs, and it feels like they're playing two different levels of football, and you have an offense that can't string together a drive of longer than six plays, an offense that cannot produce a pass play of over 19 yards against the New Orleans Saints, and then you watch the Chiefs and the Rams
31st against the pass
up and down the field. Not against a great defense at all. And, also getting back to Peterson's comments, I mean, the players don't seem to feel that way.
No.
I was around Jason Kelce last week. I was around Malcolm Jenkins yesterday when they're questioning the accountability, the fight, all those different things with this team. And then, I don't know, it just struck me as very strange for the coach to say.
Tone deaf.
Well, here's the thing, Sheil, and I totally agree with your interpretation. So under the umbrella of what Kelce said, what Malcolm said, and what some others have said, and Malcolm probably said the strongest of all. I don't know, but I just got to imagine that some of the guys have got to question their leader, Doug Peterson. I mean, I hate to, assume because, do I really know? No, I don't. But how could Malcolm, who said what he said yesterday and knows what Doug's saying and thinking, how could Malcolm not look at his coach and be like, dude, what is up with your approach?
I haven't seen signs of that explicitly. I do think Doug
actually. Oh, of course
not.
No, I know. Yeah.
I think he does have a good relationship with the players, and I actually think one of the things guys like Jenkins and Kelce like is that in this organization they're sort of free to speak up and state what they did in the locker room and then take that to Doug Peterson on Wednesday mornings when they chat with him. But in terms of overall assessment of the team, I mean, it couldn't be any more glaring and Peterson after the game saying we showed fight and saying that again today. And then Malcolm Jenkins coming out and saying the total opposite, that we didn't show enough fight and guys were laying down. So there definitely are those disagreements in terms of what has gotten the Eagles to 4-6 and kind of what their demeanor and the culture of the team is right now,
Listen, I just think of a guy like Lombardi, Parcells. I know Peterson won a Super Bowl. God bless him. But I just can't imagine what a guy like Parcells or Lombardi would say when they hear a coach say what Doug said today. All right, let's get to the growth thing, Sheil. Was Doug Peterson asked about Mike Rowe's comments yesterday? And if so, what did he say?
He was, and I think he felt a little bit probably like Mike Rowe's answer got misinterpreted. I mean, basically, he was saying that it's tough because we didn't have a lot of plays in the game. There's always a learning curve with a new player, but he sort of downplayed the idea that, you know, it's been this huge challenge to integrate Golden Tate into the offense. So I think he was trying to get the offensive coordinators back there a little bit. And it was a strange comment. It was definitely a bit of a troubling comment. And I think it just goes to this team not really having a great plan on anything. You know, you trade for Golden Tate, and then he's not having any impact on the offense. Meanwhile, Dallas Goedert has had, zero catches the last 2 weeks? And really it goes back to the game, to me, in terms of not having a plan. What irked me most about that game is you go in knowing you're going to have to put up a lot of points on the board and be aggressive, and you have a 4th-and-4 from Saints territory, and you're choosing to punt in that spot to flip the field. I mean, that is amazing to me, and kind of having no sense, no pulse of what your team is and what you're going up against.
Wow, just inconsistent. Let's talk. We know you watch a lot of film. Let's talk about the game tape a little bit. Our secondary and what happened to it, the decimation that occurred, those players are, it sounds like we're sticking with what we got. And the injury problems may not be as bad as they seemed. You know, guys are day-to-day coming back. Is our secondary, personnel-wise, able to cut it in today's NFL? I mean, do we have the guys to actually stop the Giants, essentially?
I mean, to stop the Giants, to limit the Giants a little bit, maybe, but it is a decimated secondary. There's no doubt about that. They're so banged up, and that's why, you know, I'd be critical of Jim Schwartz early in the season. I don't know how you can put this game on him when you look at the bodies that were out there, whether it's, I mean, the average fan or even, you know, a super fan might have no idea who these guys are. I was looking down at my roster during the game. So, yeah, in that game, you know, they decided let's play a lot of man coverage, keep it pretty simple, and see what happens. Obviously, that did not work out well, but they just don't have a lot of options right now given all the injuries. Avante Maddox, Rasul Douglas are day-to-day, and it looks like Jalen Mills probably will not be back. So, yeah, it is going to be a banged-up group once again on Sunday.
Okay, so our defensive line, we know that Drew Brees gets rid of the ball so quickly it makes it really hard to even touch him. I mean, as far as I can remember, I saw Josh Sweat hit him once. Is that Drew Brees being great, or do we have some serious deficiencies in terms of a pass rush, Sheil?
I would say a little bit of both. I would lean more towards, honestly, Drew Brees being great. I mean, okay. No one, if you look at it statistically, gets rid of the ball faster in the NFL. And it's just before the snap, the guy knows exactly what's coming and exactly where to go with the ball. And he did make some unbelievable tight window throws in that game. You know, having said that, I think it's fair to point out the pass rush is not nearly what it was a year ago. And other than Fletcher Cox, you know, who has given you consistent production on the defensive line. So, you know, we'll see here in the coming weeks, but I would say that specific game, probably more Brees than anything else.
Let's talk about our offensive line. Jason Kelce went out. I'm confused about his status. I mean, Doug says he'll be fine, correct?
Yes. Yep. He said he'll be good.
All right. I don't really understand why he was out that entire game then if he's good, but our offensive line, our tackles, with your assessment, how did they play? Did they look better? Do we have a chance to protect Carson?
I mean, I didn't come away from that game saying the offensive line is why they only scored 7 points and why they lost that game. At the same time, there was some mishaps in some key spots. I mean, that third down they had when it was 17-7 and they're driving, and there's a miscommunication between Stefan Wisniewski and Isaac Seumalo, where you let Sheldon Rankins, you know, the best, or maybe the second best player on the Saints defense,
just run right in.
And sack Wentz. So that was huge. And then there was another play on a key third down early where Lane Johnson gets pushed back into, you know, Carson Wentz's lap by Cam Jordan. They had Zach Ertz wide open on that play where maybe you could have extended the drive. So, you know, we know they're the worst first quarter scoring offense in the NFL. They're averaging, I think, 2 points a game, which ranks 32nd in the NFL. And so those are some of the mishaps that you saw early on.
All right, Shield, final thing, Eagles-Giants, who wins the game?
Oh, my gosh. I haven't even thought about a prediction, quite honestly, but I'm going to lean towards the Giants a little bit in this game. I mean, they're playing better than the Eagles right now. They have some weapons on offense where with the guys you're trotting out there in the secondary, you're going to have to put up points. And I haven't seen that quite yet. So, you know, I'll next 24 hours, I'll figure out my official prediction, but I am leaning towards the Giants right now.
There it is. Shill, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. We appreciate you joining us on the show today.
All right, same to you guys. Take care.
Thank you, Shill.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.